I had this thought. I'm like, what am I doing right now? And I was like, oh, I am trying to make my body look how I feel inside. That is how ugly I felt inside and how much I hated myself. This life that I built, who I was being in it, I had no idea who this person was because I had spent a lifetime wearing a mask of who I should be.
You're listening to the How Do You Deal With podcast with me, your host, Joelle Writing. Each week, we're talking about the parts of life that we all wish we could talk about. I hope you're ready to dive in. Let's get started. What's up, what's up, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time listening, you have picked an amazing episode to get started on. And if you're a returning listener, guys, get ready. Today on the show, I'm so excited and honored to have Stacey Raske on, who is a Iraq war veteran. She's a best-selling author. She's a speaker. She's a coach. And she's a badass biker chick. Like, this woman is just everything. I am so honored and excited to have her on the show today because she comes on and she just talks about all of the stuff that we like kind of sweep under the rug or we don't want to deal with or the stuff that gets in the way from us going to that next level of like greatness of that next level of life. She, you know, started out, her story is incredible. At 16, her mom left her to go to the continental US. She was in Alaska. She finished up high school. She joined the military. She got medically discharged. And then she, you know, started this journey of like healing herself because she realized she had all of the things, the American dream. She had the house, the car, the husband, the career, and she was miserable inside, which is sadly, you know, not that uncommon. And so I love her story. She comes on, she talks all about how she began to heal, like, herself, her self-image, how she got through and lost 100 pounds, and how she's like now just the badass woman that she is, and how she coaches and helps other women reach their potential and fall in love with themselves again and just realize where and what areas they can improve on. And so, oh my gosh, I'm not going to give too much away because literally this episode just is so good and I learned so much. I'm so grateful that she came on, and yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Let's get going. What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of How Do You Deal With? I'm so grateful you're here and I have such just like a badass guest today. Literally, like there's no other way to describe her besides just like, holy shit, girl. She is a best-selling author. She is a leader, a speaker, and I like biker chick. So hello, Stacey. Like, what's up, girl?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And Iraq war veteran.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Sorry for forgetting that one. That one is huge. Like, let's start there. So wait, like, okay. Iraq war veteran. That's amazing. So did you like go to military school and then you went to Iraq and got deployed? How did your like military experience kind of start?
I was actually left on my own at 16. So mom moved away. She and I relocated from Chicago to Alaska. And then she's like, moved again. And she's like, I'm moving. And I'm like, I don't want to switch schools for like the 8 millionth time. I'm staying. She's like, okay, cool. Well, I'm still moving. So basically I was left on my own. I ended up spending the last year and a half of high school, I mean, basically homeless, couch surfing with my friends and stuff like that. And I went to college right out of high school just because it was expected, but it just was not the right fit for me. It was just a should. And then I ended up taking some time off and took a couple years off. And I'd moved to Salt Lake City, Utah. And I was like, you know, I need a really, really big change. And at the same time, I think ever since I was a little kid, I really felt like I just knew somewhere down the line, military would be in my path. It would just be part of my journey. I didn't know what that would look like or when, but it ended up being that time. So actually at 22, I joined the Army and did chemical and biological warfare detection.
Damn.
Yeah. I had just finished all my training right when 9/11 happened, and the Pentagon was my first deployment to go clean up the anthrax.
First, I want to say, like, what a story to start out your life. Like, 16, all right, bye, Mom. Like, I'm going to finish high school. And then, like, so college, did you finish college and then go to the Army? Or, like, how did, and such a cool, specific job for, like, the Army. Like, that's really, I didn't even know that was, like, a thing you could do for the Army. And how did you choose that over other topics? I couldn't even tell you other topics.
Over other professions in the military, right? So I did not finish school because by, you know, halfway through my second year, it was, like I said, it was just shoulds. It was just not the right fit for me.
Good for you for listening to that.
Thank you. And I just took some, ended up moving, you know, to the lower 48. And took that time off to just reset and get to know myself. So, you know, I was like really successful career, I mean, as young as 19, but it was just not the right fit and just needed a really radical change. And of course, I mean, joining the military is a really radical change. I was lacking a lot of structure and a lot of discipline in my life. I was just really needing to honestly step more into my power as a woman and as an alpha woman. And so I'd always gravitated towards more male-dominated activities. I was always such a tomboy. I loved, you know, dirt bikes and skateboards and stuff, not really the playing with dolls. You know, I was so disappointed when I went and joined Girl Scouts and was like, wait, we're not going camping? Like,
right?
I want to build a fire.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. I don't want to sell cookies. What is this crap? This is total bullshit. Like, not what I want. So, you know, it was just, I was always such a doer, lots of action, lots of activity. And so it was kind of a really good fit because I was always such a high achiever. So to go and, you know, join the military was like, just to really unleash that next layer of confidence and, you know, just get to know myself better. And so it was really, but it was needless to say, it was very interesting because I was deployed pretty much the rest of the time that I was in until I was the first chemical unit in Iraq. So we were right on the front lines when we first invaded in 2003. And I was injured when I was overseas. And so I came back just a little bit early before our unit finished up our tour. And then I ended up medically discharged. So I am officially a disabled veteran.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, it's really, I mean, it's a cool story. People are like, wait, what? And I'm like, well, I don't wear, you know, a label that says disabled veteran on me, you know, but it's so.
What happened?
Oh yeah, there was a couple different things. I mean, the bulk of the time that I was over there, I ended up doing a lot of like convoy rescue missions and some other really cool things. And so just avoiding some of the convoy ambushes and things, you know, doing some off-roading and some crazy stuff, you know, ended up with like a dislocated jaw and stuff like that. But at one point, it was an explosion, ended up basically that concussive force knocks you on the ground. And then when you land, it's not really good for your body. So between, you know, some traumatic brain injury and then herniated discs in my back, you know, I ended up having hip surgery as well before I got out as well. So, you know, it's just kind of a variety of things that just, the military's hard on your body, you know, in or outside of war, it's just hard on your body. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you were there from 2003, you said, to 2000, and how long were you over there?
In Iraq?
Yeah.
Oh, we were only there for 6 months because we were the only Army's biological warfare detection unit. So, like, we go on the front lines of things, did our job, and then had to quickly, you know, come back to get ready for the next deployment. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and I came back just a smidge early because, well, not because of my injuries. I actually came back early because my mom was having emergency surgery. But yeah, but either way, I was ended up out of the Army early. So
starting out like with Army, and then how did you become who you are now? Like what a jump. Like, I'm so like impressed, and obviously like
I can tell from your demeanor, I can tell from you, like, you're a strong, badass woman, like, here, no taking shit. And I'm just impressed. Like, it's so, I love talking to women who are just like owning their power, and I love it. And I'm just so excited for this conversation. So, like, you know, after you got out of the military, what was next? How did your life unfold then?
It was interesting. But I mean, first, thank you. I love, you know, leading by example and being that divine feminine alpha woman and being very unapologetic, but also influential, where it's radiating this power and confidence in a way that elevates and inspires others, not diminishing anyone in any capacity. And I really feel like that's the hallmark of truly being an alpha woman. You know, that is that next level. And I know we'll get into that in the conversation today, but yeah, there's a little bit of shifting and up-leveling that has to take place between where most people think alpha is and what truly being an alpha woman is. So yeah, got out of the military, obviously. I'm now, you know, medically discharged. So I went back to school to get my degree. Finished college as a non-traditional student, which was interesting. And basically, because the first time I went to college, it was just meh, whatever, nothing really transfers. So basically, being the high achiever that I was, I just went full time and I did 4 years of college in 3 years. And, you know, with a family and responsibilities and the whole shebang, I was all in. And what was really interesting is I wasn't trying to graduate valedictorian, but I did. Talk about the high achiever. But it was really interesting too, because I mean, looking back, I see where so it was still part of that should story. You know, it's what you should do. You know, it's that story we're taught by our parents. Like, you need to, you know, go to school, get a career, get married, buy the house, have the car, you know, do the stuff, have the family.
The American dream.
And it was truly my prison. It was truly my prison. It ended up being, so I finished school, I immediately get recruited by a pharmaceutical company. So my degree's in biology, so I ended up being a pharmaceutical chemist. So over the next 7 years, I do the shoulds. Get the career that's safe, it pays well, you have the benefits, buy the house, all the stuff. And as the distractions start falling away, like school or something that I'm constantly doing, we start getting into the routines. That means now I'm beginning to fall apart. So over the next 7 years of building this life of shoulds, I am continually numbing out. I am drinking too much, eating too much, the TV, the avoiding anything to avoid my emotions. You know, it was the drugs, the, I mean, even at my worst, self-harm, just something to change how I was feeling in the moment, because I really did not have coping skills. It was going back to childhood trauma. And then you put on top of that childhood trauma, military trauma, right? So now we've got multiple layers of post-traumatic stress disorder, and I am undiagnosed. Of course, they're giving me medication. Oh, you're depressed. You're anxious. Oh, you've got chronic health conditions. Oh, you know, yes, you're gaining weight, but...
Here's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, here's the Band-Aid fixes. And it was just spiraling out of control. My marriage is slowly disintegrating. My health is in shambles. My career, I end up losing my career because I actually got so sick. I ended up on short-term and then long-term disability. I was walking with a cane.
Shut up. Wow. Wow.
Oh, autoimmune, chronic inflammation, the fibromyalgia, cancer, all kinds of things just flaring up in my body, because my body is saying, hello, wake up, help. You do not have your shit together. And here's all the signs. And what was so interesting is it was just always patching symptoms. Even in Western medicine, it was just patching symptoms, same thing at work, all the stuff. So fast forward to the end of 2014, I finally have my rock bottom moment. It was just this crazy moment of clarity where I'm standing in my kitchen, literally taking food right out of the cabinet, shoving it in my face, and I am bawling my eyes out. bawling my eyes out, and then chasing the food with alcohol.
I'm like literally getting emotional, just like, whew, envisioning that, because
oh yeah,
that's a deep place to be.
Oh, it was so dark. And what was really interesting though is I had this beautiful moment of clarity where I actually was present with what I was thinking in the actions that I was doing, because I was so checked out, so autopilot. I had this thought, I'm like, what am I doing right now? And I was like, oh, I am trying to make my body look how I feel inside. That is how ugly I felt inside and how much I hated myself. This life that I built, who I was being in it, I had no idea who this person was because I had spent a lifetime wearing a mask of who I should be. I was always wearing the good girl mask, playing by the rules, you know, doing all the things you're supposed to do, all while rejecting my truth, my power, my intuition, my body, myself, my needs, you know, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do. And all the while completely falling apart internally, you know. So it looks great on paper to be the valedictorian, to have the beautiful corporate job, to have the marriage, the nice cars, the nice house. And all of that was that prison hiding this huge hole in my soul. So fast forward over the last 5 years, it started at the beginning of 2015. In 2015, I lost 100 pounds.
What?
Yep. Lost 100 pounds. Got off my meds. Got off all my medications and just really shifted who I was being in my life. I completely threw in the towel because high achievers and most alpha women I work with, massive control issues. So I threw in the towel on trying to control anything other than myself. Granted, even now, it's always a work in progress. However, by shifting my focus and my energy towards myself and allowing that myself to lead by example, take care of me and everything else will follow, everything's come into place. I've built a business, a brand, a best-selling book. I'm impacting all of these lives of my amazing clients and obviously beautiful opportunities to collaborate with beautiful powerhouse women like you and articles, just all the stuff, right? To share this crazy story that I know is not unique. The details might be different, but when you get to the core of it, you know, as I'm always talking about, like just wearing the mask, the control issues, all of that stuff. And again, I'm such a high performer. I'm always leaning into how can I learn more, get to the root, get to the root, get to the root so I can be better. And then of course, to be the example for others.
Wow, girl. Okay. So much kudos. So much just like, you're amazing. I would love to like hear more about that early journey of like, first starting to like that year of losing 100 pounds, like what did you do? What was going through your head? Did you reach out for help? Did you like just know that you couldn't do this on your own? Because I know that like, this year for me has been a healing transformational year, but it's painful. Like, I could get emotional thinking about how much like, thank God I had support. Thank God I had people in my life because it's a reason that people don't do it. There's a reason people do not heal and they keep covering the shit up with external stuff because it is so much easier to have that quick fix than to like deal with the layers and the layers and the layers of healing. And so I would love to hear a little bit more if you're willing to share of just, yeah, when you first started, like how did you get through it?
Absolutely. And yeah, I totally agree with you. We're so stuck in the cycle and the trap of avoiding the pain in the moment that we don't realize the compounding effect of it, that if we would just lean into addressing more of it over a shorter period of like a few weeks or a few months to actually work through our shit and build the tools so we know how to handle it the next time, it really alleviates decades of misery suffering, struggle because we're on autopilot or avoidance or just disconnect. So we're not even present in our lives and we just coast. You know, the adage everybody's always talking about, like just existing, not living, right? I mean, my bed was so broken in because I spent months in bed, multiple hospitalizations. Like, it was crazy. So year one was very interesting. And I agree with you. It was really, really hard because thank God I had my therapist. I was in therapy, trauma therapy at the vet center. Thank you, vet center. Kudos to all the people who support veterans. so needed. And thankfully I had her, but honestly it was really hard. And I would say this just goes back to my really, really strong inner rebel being stubborn as hell that I was like, I'm doing it anyway, even though I don't have help and I don't have support. And I was also still in the cycle of rejection of community in the early days as well, because a lot of alpha women, we are amazing at suffering in silence because on the outside, we totally look like we're super successful. And to say anything to anyone otherwise, they're like, you're just ungrateful. Like, what's wrong with you? How could you have a problem? So huge, so much judgment and negative feedback. So totally suffering in silence outside of the misery in my household. Obviously my husband knew I was not okay. But thankfully I had my therapist. But the first year I was not introduced to my very first mentor until the end of 2015. And I would say, thankfully I did enough work to get to that place where it opened me up to receive that opportunity, which was super amazing. And it started that process of pretty much from there on, I was always investing in some type of support or accountability, because obviously mentoring and coaching is so different from therapy. And I know there's a lot of conflict depending. Some people are love hybrids. Some people are all about both. And then sometimes I've been seeing a lot lately where there's a lot of conflict between the two industries, but they're just different. You know, they're just different. So a lot of that first year was on my own. And it was hard because the big mistakes I made was, again, being this type of alpha woman, this high achiever, it's very all or nothing thinking. So when I went all in into taking care of me, it was all in, which meant everyone else gets nothing. Not understanding how actual boundaries really work. It was just a different type of wall. So I went from having walls internally with myself where I'm rejecting myself and not being honest with myself, not connecting to my emotions, who I'm being, the walls there, right? Because the biggest mask we wear is the one with ourselves. And let's start going through the process of taking off that mask, but now that means I have to take the wall and put it somewhere else. So now the wall went up between me and my family. Now it's, sorry, I'm cleansing, so you have to make your own food. I'm doing this for me. I'm over here doing these things for me, so you got to do you. There's no room for balance in my marriage or in, you know, taking care of my stepson or any of those things. It was just very, very all or nothing. Right? And that's a lot of the mistakes that I made in the early days of creating what I thought were boundaries, but they really weren't. So in my own healing journey, I realized boundaries were the missing skill set that really amplified all of the other changes, the mindset, the beliefs, the reprogramming of the old stories, all the stuff that needs to happen really fundamentally boils down to boundaries, which is a skill set. And most work, it's 100% taught. Mine were all fucked up. And so it was leaning into learning it myself. Thankfully, I did have some great support by this point in my life and in my network, and started that process of really learning about boundaries. And that's how I became a boundaries expert, trying to fix myself.
I love that so much, because boundaries is something that I literally just learned about in therapy. Like, you know, within the past year, I had no idea what they were. I was like, boundaries, like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't need them. And then like trying to implement them, but then they weren't working because I wasn't honoring myself. I wasn't like actually really realizing that boundaries are for you, but you can't change anyone else. It's a weird balance that I'm still trying to figure out, but like boundaries is a life-changing thing. And so I love that you're just like, I'm a boundaries expert now.
Everybody, when they get my teachings on boundaries, they're always like mind blown, because they're like, this is the first time I actually understand what's happening here. This is the first time I actually understand how boundaries work. And the biggest missing piece that most gurus, therapists, teachers miss when it comes to boundaries, everyone's always focusing on boundaries in external relationships. And every single one of those external relationships, including your relationship with your business, your relationship with time, your relationship with money, every one of those relationships is 100% reflection of your relationship with yourself. That means every single boundary you see that you need in any one of those relationships is because you need it in your relationship with yourself. For example, if, right, we go to respect. We cannot have a boundary of no disrespect in my bubble if I don't respect myself. But when you put it in the framework outside of just self-respect and make it in a framework of boundaries, then you're like, oh, I better not talk to myself the way I do in my head. That's disrespectful. Oh, that means I need to really honor my schedule because I'm disrespecting my time. Now there's this framework to understanding how this is practical and tangible in your life, not some, you know, because obviously boundaries are energetic, but to take it out of this ethereal understanding, this something sort of very ambiguous for most people. And I'm like, no, this is exactly how this is going. And then they're like, oh crap. Now every one of those frustrating relationships in your life, you're like, where am I doing this to myself?
For me, what I'm hearing, and confirm me if I'm right or wrong, but it's like making promises to yourself. And if you don't make the promise to yourself and if you don't keep the promise, why are you going to keep promises to other people? If you say you're going to do something for you, make sure you honor that, because your relationship with you is extremely important and you need to honor yourself to be able to honor others.
It goes both ways. Anything you expect, right? Which obviously expectation is fundamentally a control issue. But anything, because it's just trying to control people in your head or outcomes or whatever, right? It's just a control issue. But to have standards to say, look, I will not allow disrespect in my bubble. Simple as that. But that means I need to set the example by not only respecting myself, my time, my body, my energy, my wisdom, my expertise, whatever that is, but that I also extend that same respect to others. So it goes both ways. So we've got to lead by example. And that is how we model boundaries. That's how we enforce boundaries. It's not telling people, you don't get to disrespect me. No, that's trying to control somebody else. No, you have to have, my standard is I will not allow that in my bubble. And if it comes in, I know how to respond, not react, respond accordingly, whether it means saying something, whether it means exiting the situation, whether it means being like, okay, bye Felicia, you know, whatever that is, you know, what the consequence is.
You're right. I mean, you literally, like, people tell you that you make boundaries make sense. Yep, you're right. Like, that is so good and so true. And I feel like that also ties into your work with like alpha women, with people who are like trying to control everything. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about boundaries first. And then, because yeah, when I first started trying to implement boundaries, it was very much that, like, I'm going to try to control your actions because it doesn't align with what I want. And it's like, oh, nope, that's not how it works. It's just not. And so how do you like use all of your knowledge of boundaries now working with your clients, now working with women, now working with like these alpha, incredible, like powerful women? Because I'm sure maybe at first it's not received well, or maybe it is. I don't know.
They see the symptoms, right? They know, and not everybody identifies as an alpha right out of the gates. But as soon as I say, hey, have you ever been called intimidating? Then everyone raises their hand and they get it. And keep in mind, everyone has access to that alpha energy because certain situations and certain contexts in our lives and our businesses require that. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to present as a quintessential alpha all the time. So, you know, even people who are very alpha professionally, when they're at home, they may not be that. They may be super passive, super chill, like whatevs, you know, their significant other may be more the alpha in that relationship. So the dynamics can change all the time depending on the situation. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. It's not just someone who's extroverted. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you're so extroverted. I was like, I am an ambivert. I so need just as much of my downtime and my alone time like an introvert to recharge. And if I'm doing the external stuff where I seem super extroverted or on, it's because I'm around people, the curated, the high vibe people that are my tribe that really, you know, juice me up. You know what I mean? Like when you feel good around high vibe people. I mean, I talk to so many introverted women who are like, no, I'm such an introvert. I'm like, I challenge you. I bet you're ambivert. Because if you're around like the amazing tribe of people that you love, whether it's your family or your best friend or whatever, are you silly and outgoing and really energized? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, there you go.
Wow. Yes. And I've never even heard the term ambivert. Like this just changed my life because I literally have always identified as an extrovert, and oh my gosh, I see both. I see like when I'm around, I need those high vibe relationships, those like conferences, the masterminds, like the people who are just like, it's just a different frequency. And you're like, yep, let's fucking do this shit. And then I also need like alone time to like decompress and like go in, because stillness is also so important for me. I'm learning that more and more this year that like, most of my like crazy, like I like to call them downloads, come from being still.
You're in feminine energy.
Yes.
You're in receiving mode.
Ooh, masculine and feminine energy is another thing I learned this year. Do you want to like explain or talk a little bit about that?
We can definitely get to that, but we'll get to your first question though, talking about boundaries for alpha women and why control is such a problem with them. So one is, again, when we alpha women have this beautiful capacity to be highly sensitive. So we have this high level of empathy and sensitivity, which is actually our superpower, mind you. But at the same time, we're always in this state of motion and doing and stimulation and action. We're like always in this, I mean, just like I said, state of motion, which is our high sensation seeking. So hello, empath entrepreneur, right? And so we're navigating and balancing both the outward movement and then the internal processing, right? Feeling so much and experiencing so much the world on all of the sensory levels as an empath. So we're balancing all of those things. And so this is where that control, that need for control comes in. So we've got a lot of the action, the achievement, the performance, the doing, and yet we're feeling all of this stuff too. And most of these women really lack boundaries, which again, boundaries are just an energetic layer of protection. They're protecting your energy so you're not draining your energy, giving too much of yourself away, taking on too much that's not yours. Because boundaries, the simplest explanation of boundaries is responsibility. Being clear on what you are responsible for and letting go, truly letting go of what you are not responsible for, right? So only being responsible for you and not trying to control anything else. So obviously, no boundaries. We're trying to control too many things that are not ours to control. So with all of that information coming in, it's a lot. And then there's a lot of energy and stuff going out too. Energy, emotion, action going out. And it's just a lot to handle. So we learn to create walls And because we don't have control over the input and the output, we learn to control through doing. And, you know, now we go into the perfection or procrastination or expectation or judgment or dishonesty. These are all control issues because it's a control of information. And one of the really subtle ways that we control are things like being in masculine energy all the time, being in hustle, being in doing. Is I'm so busy trying to control everything in my life or in my business that at the end of the day, there's nothing left because I cannot let go of stuff that's not mine. I see this all the time with really high level entrepreneurs. They have this beautiful team and they're not using their team, or they do delegate to their team, but they don't mentally, emotionally, or energetically let go of control. So they're worrying about it all the time. And then when the work comes in, they go behind them and fix it, do it, change it, do whatever anyway. So it's like they don't even have a team. They're just control freaks, right? You know, I mean, I see this with in corporate as well. A lot of executive, you know, the leaders not letting their team shine and just do what they do. They got to get into everything. And so, you know, this can show up in a lot of ways where then there's control issues with food. And the big one I just did, permission and pleasure. That is a big one where we disconnect from our own pleasure and we disconnect from giving ourselves permission to actually experience pleasure or experience what we desire. And I'm saying far beyond like sexual. I mean, just even the pleasure of celebrating a success. The pleasure of just being present, the pleasure of engaging your senses or being in your body, the pleasure of really tapping into your feminine energy to balance out the masculine hustle. You know, there's a lot. We gaslight ourselves, and it's a control issue because we're hitting at our deepest, deepest level these inner worthiness wounds that say I'm not worthy or deserving of what I desire without some type of sacrifice or struggle. So I got to earn it. And if things start going too easy, I'll learn to create the sacrifice internally with control issues, like not giving myself permission to have fun, to take that downtime. Because that's really what that looks like, right? That's the, some of that pleasure. It's like, woohoo, I'm take a day off, disconnect, right? Have some fun. So, you know, so control issues at the highest level, especially with alpha women, are really sneaky. And most of them actually present internally. You know, yes, we'll see some of the perfection and the procrastination, but the internal stuff, again, the boundaries, the time, they're completely maxed out on time, definitely running low on energy, not taking enough of the, you know, again, not enough pleasure. The downtime's not there. And then they keep hitting the same plateau or that same invisible ceiling on the amount of joy, peace, love, success, money, connection, opportunities, whatever that big goal is for them, they cannot get it. They keep hitting that same upper limit because of those internal blocks. They're hitting against their walls.
That's so interesting because it's so true. It's so true that, like, I feel like specifically women, like, we don't give ourselves permission to play. Like, I was just talking to one of my friends about this, that, like, she was like, I spent so much of my life controlling and being perfect and not getting my hair wet, as she says. And she's like, fuck that. I'm done with that. Like, I want to go jump in the pool. Like, I want to have fun. I want to, like, have my time that, like, fills me up because I deserve that. And there's so many women who don't even give themselves permission. And it changed my life. It literally changed my business. It completely, like, I broke through that ceiling because that's literally what happened to me. Like, I had that ceiling. I was like, okay, what's wrong? I feel like I know all the things. I'm trying all the things, but I just cannot break this, like, cap. And then finally, I talked to my coaches and they were like, oh, like, masculine, feminine energy, like, you have to do both. And I was like, what? Like, I can play. I can take time to, like, go and be barefoot outside in, like, a flowy dress. And, like, that was my version of, like, you know, feminine, like, playing. And everyone, it's going to look differently. But, like, when I implemented that, game changer. I was so much more happier, like when I was in that more like masculine, like doing and like hustling and like getting shit done, and then like transitioning back to feminine whenever I needed. Like, and my business flourished because of it, because I gave myself permission to do both instead of feeling and like that negative self-talk of like, oh, you should be working. Your to-do list still has stuff on there. You still need to be doing this. And like just giving yourself permission to be like, okay, that list is still going to be there tomorrow. Like I am happy with where I am right now. And now it's time to go play, because you have to have both.
Oh yeah. And that is truly the key to successful leadership. And what I always talk about is for alpha women shifting from being intimidating to influential. Is shifting out of being too much in the masculine, whether it is empowered or disempowered masculine, and bringing in the balance of the feminine energy, the empowered feminine energy, because so many of us, that's why we stay in the masculine, is we have these stories of rejection. And keep in mind, what I don't think a lot of people realize, because there's so many, you know, woo terms and personal and professional development that get thrown around, but like inner child, feminine energy, it's emotion. Inner rebel, feminine energy. You know, all the things that we reject. Just being, right? Like, obviously, if we're in the state of doing and action all the time, we're not stop to have fun, to play, right? That's inner child. That's the feminine energy. To simply be present with yourself, to engage your senses, and most importantly, to be in your body. You know, your head, masculine energy. In your body, that is the seed of your feminine energy, you know, your gut, your intuition, your divine inner wisdom, you know, and we've got to have both. And obviously, this has nothing to do with physical gender or anything like that. Everyone has a balance of masculine, feminine energy, and being in balance with them is ideal for anyone, regardless. And what's super cool is the masculine energy is designed to be in service of the feminine. So to be in your feminine flow first, to truly be in alignment and be open to receive, as you said, your downloads, the inspired information, the inspired ideas, then that follows with action. The action follows the feminine energy. So that is the way masculine is designed to be in service of the feminine.
Wow.
Isn't it cool?
That is so good. Yes.
And that is why we need to work out and, you know, nurture our bodies and eat well and connect to our bodies, you know, do the things that are help you be in that flow state, you know, whatever that is for you. You know, again, I'm my husband. He'll go to the gym. I go to the gym. But then at night before bed, I do this really fun, like goddess downloads, this really great dance. But then I happy dance in the morning too. You know, it's just stuff to be in my body, be in that flow place, you know, and just to be present and love my body. I used to hate it that my body told me, right? That's why I was so sick, because I was like, I hate you, body. It was like this internal battle. And so many people are, it's interesting because, you know, the goal seeking, masculine energy, right? It's an action. If we're doing, here's a big one, especially for moms, giving. We always think about, oh, I'm such a giver. Yeah, that is masculine energy. Giving, because it's an action, it's outward. Giving is masculine, receiving is feminine energy, right? And so all the people who talk about law of attraction, manifestation, all of those things, right? It's opening yourself up to receiving. And this is the biggest hiccup for alpha women, because we have these walls, these blocks, these deservability, worthiness blocks to actually being open to receive what we desire. So we can do the stuff. We can hustle. We can have the achievement. Stuff can happen. And then I'm not open to receive what I want, because the wall was up. The wall was up. Yeah. Like, we'll do the stuff. And it is like the receiving is not there. And the other side of that, and this goes to the control piece, feminine energy is also release, AKA surrender, letting go of control. So of course we can look at surrender being so disempowering, but it's not. But if we just say, look, release what's not within your control, release the baggage that you're holding on to, release the stuff to make room for what you desire. And so that is such the foundation of the work that I do with my clients, is literally from day one, we're creating these routines, which the routines build this connection and this relationship to self, because everything in the routine is about nurturing you and nurturing way more of the feminine energy and building this self reliance where it's saying, oh yeah, I put this on my routine. Yes, I did it. Like, you're saying, oh, I can show up for me. And it's crazy, because whether it's my like 8-figure clients or my, you know, just starting out in their business clients, like, it's always the same stuff that we need to get going, you know, building the consistency with the boundaries and the clarity and release, building consistency in the early days around, it's okay to be releasing the stuff that's not yours to make room to be open to receive. Once those boundaries are in place, you can begin dismantling those walls because it's safe. So now you start opening up to receive what you desire. And it's amazing because these women founders and CEOs come to me because they can see they're maxed out on time. They keep hitting the same income limit, but at the same time, how we do one thing is how we do everything, right? All the gurus say that. And it's so true, because now they transform their marriages or they open themselves up to receiving this amazing love and connection that they've never had before, because they're open to receive the money or the opportunities, right? Or for the first time, it's safe for their body to release the weight that they could never get rid of because it's finally safe. It always boils down to internal safety, always about internal safety. Anytime we're thrown off because of an external condition, it's because we've had some of our safety attached to something outside of ourselves. And that's how you become unconditional, when your safety is completely internal.
Can you kind of like dive into that a little bit more? Like, internal safety, like, what do you mean by that?
So the easiest way is to kind of go back to the idea of our inner child is feeling emotionally safe or secure or stable. The language is a little bit different, but the easiest way to understand it, and of course, if you're an entrepreneur, you know you're constantly triggering feelings of unsafe every time you push outside your comfort zone. So anytime we feel that discomfort of doing something different, doing something outside the outside of our comfort zone, you know, stretching, that whether it shows up as anxiety, whether it shows up as fear, whether it shows up as procrastination, control issues, right? Those are all those symptoms of this deep triggering of just, I don't feel safe, right? It's literally the primitive brain. Our super primitive brain is all about safety and survival. So if we're not feeling safe because we're changing a variable, then we feel a need to control or hide, or the fear creeps up, or any of that stuff. But it's always an external condition. And as you build this really strong relationship with yourself through great routines, self-care, self-management, self-mastery of your mindset, your beliefs, and especially your emotions, right? Really elevating your emotional intelligence, you're able to become an observer of what's going on. So you can see the trigger, you can feel the emotion, like, okay, I see what's happening right now. Then it gives you the opportunity as the observer to say, okay, let me use a tool or a technique to just work through this quickly. And then I'm able to, right now I have taken control of what I have control over. And so now I can create my own safety internal. It doesn't matter what's going on outside me. It doesn't matter if there's a pandemic going on. It doesn't matter if, you know, I'm about to go speak in front of 10,000 people, right? It doesn't matter what's going on outside. You know, if I got that negative comment on my post, right? Like, I mean, I recently had a family member throw me a ton of shade in the DMs over a post that I realized immediately, even no matter what she said, she was triggered by it and it was her stuff and I didn't take it personal, right? But to be in that place, I rolled with it. It was totally fine. Stayed high road, really professional. But my internal safety meters and belonging and good girl, especially with a person in my life, was triggered a little bit later, but I was very present with it. And so I was like, okay, cool. Let me use my tools. Let me rate and burn about it, you know, do some other release techniques, you know, do some journaling and like, okay, cool. You know, bring it back to, I have control over my internal safety. I'm not going to go run the crazy train down the old stories and all that stuff. So, and a lot of safety just goes to control. And again, right? If we're having a lot of this internal feelings of unsafe for whatever reason, and a lot of that comes from our relationship with ourselves, because we've been disempowering ourselves by making it about things outside of us, it creates that control issue cycle.
It's so life-changing when you can realize that when people like throw a shade at you or come at you or like, you know, have a judgment opinion about you, that it is not about you. Like that is something that I'm a recovering people pleaser, as I like to say. Like as humans, we want to feel like we belong. We want to feel that like we are safe and that we are liked, but like that's not the reality of life. Like you're not going to be liked by everyone. You're not going to be loved by everyone. It's just not possible. But to not have it be so detrimental when someone like messages you being like, I don't agree with that, or I don't know who you think you are. And it's like, okay, like you have that realization of like, they obviously were triggered and this doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't have to take this personally. And then I love what you said, like the coping techniques, because it probably will come back. Like it probably will be like, oh, okay, wait, like I know I'm healed, but like, so having those like mechanisms to journal it out, to talk it out, to do whatever you need to like get back even further in your truth. Like I love that. And I'm still working on it. It's still like, it's a very powerful and wonderful place to be when people's opinions can like slide off of you. And I love that you brought that up, because I think that it's something that not everyone realizes, and not something that everyone knows like can eventually like, you know, you talk about confident people, or you talk about people that they're just like, I don't care what you think. And it's like, well, like, yeah, you do. Like, don't, but it's just a different energy of like, it's not that I don't care. It's that like, it's just not going to affect me, because I realize that it's your personal stuff, my personal stuff. And like, it's just different vibes. I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but I would love to like hear, you know, the techniques that you mentioned, like the write and burn, and like other techniques maybe of like, you know, if someone does say something to you, or if, you know, you have a situation that you like can't like, oh, like I wish I didn't say that, or like, you know, stuff like that. Like, what are some techniques that maybe like you can work through with that?
Absolutely. And I agree with you. It always is a work in progress. And I think the number one thing, and this is, you know, whether you want to call it a tool, a technique, or whatever, is that so many women especially, but just people as they embark on this personal development journey, business development journey, whatever it is for you, you know, we get so locked into, I'm trying to be positive, I'm trying to be positive, I'm trying to be positive, or I need to be positive all the time, that they actually slow their progress because they're really avoiding the negative thoughts and emotions. And every one of those negative thoughts and emotions is there for a reason. It is a beautiful messenger telling you, hey, something's out of alignment, something needs addressed, knock, knock. Please look behind this door, because something is here to teach you a lesson. And so really that is step number one, giving yourself permission to be present with what you're thinking and feeling. That's been the most liberating thing, to stop avoiding, to stop numbing out, to stop filling my calendar so full that I never have a moment to myself, to stop focusing on everyone else first, you know, to wear myself out, or to, you know, drink too much or eat too much, you know, anything to keep me from being present with my thoughts and feelings. So, you know, instead of judging them, oh, I'm not spiritual, or I'm not, oh, you know, far enough in my journey because I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling frustrated, or I'm feeling triggered right now. It's like, no, it's just your next layer to address. I thought I worked through this. I thought I healed this. What the hell? You know?
Yeah.
I did this shit already. What the fuck is this doing again? No, it's all, I mean, new level, same devil. It's just the next layer of the onion, right? To go through. So that's really the first thing. It's just giving yourself permission to just be present with whatever's coming up for you and not judge it. To say, okay, here we go. You know, whether it's my inner rebel trigger, you know, creeping up with a little bit of impulse control and I'm having difficulty focusing. Maybe I'm just eating a little too much because I'm having a good time, or drinking a little too much because I'm finally out of quarantine and hanging out with some friends, right? Like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, but approaching it from this place of just not judging, like, okay, what else was going on here? You know, what was under the surface, or what is this telling me? In these feelings. And so for that scenario with that shade from a family member, it was like, okay, I understand I'm feeling that need to be the good girl, you know, in desiring to go back and say something else, which I didn't do. And thankfully I didn't, because it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Cause as soon as she sent it and I sent my high level response, she unfriended me, which is hilarious. So I just blocked her. I was like, it's fine. I know I'll see her at an event and be like, oh, it's okay. Clearly my stuff was triggering for you. So I just removed it from being a trigger because all my stuff's public. It's fine. Right. But yeah, I mean, really that's the best thing. And then the really good ones are writing tools, or just like the write and burn. A variation that I created off of write and burn is record and delete. Like, record, you word vomit into your phone and then you listen back to it. Or like the write and burn, because the write and burn has you write all your negative thoughts and feelings and then you read it. You know, and then you kind of do a release mantra as you destroy the paper in some way, or you delete it on your computer or whatever, right? Like, there's a lot of variations out there. If you Google them, I have my stasified versions of them, but same with record and delete. Like, if you're driving or whatever, and some people are external processors, you just word vomit into recording it on your phone and then you listen to it, which immediately, whether you read it or you listen to it, immediately puts you in observer space of your emotions, which is super cool. Super cool. And that's why journaling is so helpful too. But I think a lot of people kind of mix together keeping too much of the negative stuff in the journaling because they're not realizing, oh, I can dump separate from my journaling. Like, I can keep the lessons, the golden nuggets, right? Because that's what so much of us do. We keep 100% of a scenario when only maybe 1% of it was a golden nugget lesson. But let me keep all the anger and all the resentment and all the stuff, all the junk that came with that golden nugget lesson. Well, instead, let's release all the junk and just keep the golden nugget. Now I have all this room to receive what I desire.
Yes, I love that. Right? Yes.
Right? It's so good. And especially with journaling, a lot of people don't realize journaling, and I did journaling wrong forever, but to journal thoughts and feelings. Because again, this is about building a dialogue with yourself, right? Everything's about getting to know you and being okay with it, right? Because I would never have known that I wore this good girl mask had I not gone through this process of like building this dialogue with myself, understanding, oh, okay, I have a deep well of some really dark shit and I'm okay with that. Like, it's not bad. It's okay. Because we all do. We don't need to pretend, you know, and that's why a lot of us have compartmentalized success in our lives. We have this compartmentalized or segmented success. Like, I'm really successful here in my business, right? Super successful, got all the money, but like I suck at relationships. It's an either or. Or I can, my marriage is doing really, really well. My business is doing good right now, but that's far too much abundance than I have a capacity to hold. So let me sabotage my health. Right? Let me do something over here to start making me feel like crap to kind of offset the good stuff. Or, hey, I've got a really big month in my business. You know, I have my first 10K or my first 20K month. All right, that was too big, too fast. So let me offset it by the next 2 months having like no income to balance it out. Right? So, you know, there's a lot of these different ways that we're like, okay, we can get in our way. So the more we work through having this dialogue with ourselves and getting to know just what's going on, what are we feeling? It just speeds up the process to work through the junk. But that's why we have such segmented success, is we have those internal walls. You know, the mask we wear with ourselves, that little thing like, oh, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. That's my trauma from back there. That's my negative stuff back there that I don't want anybody to know. I don't even look at it. I just pretend it's out, right? And so that's why so many women come to me, because they're successful in different aspects of their lives or different aspects of their businesses, or their business is functioning on this revenue stream and this revenue stream. And if they focus over here, this is good, but none of it's working together. And so we go through this journey of breaking down those internal walls to allow everything to come in, to be simple, filled with ease and vitality and authenticity, instead of hustle, hard work, burnout, exhaustion, overgiving, overserving. You know, maybe their health is not where they would like it to be. The energy and the time are maxed out. Maybe their marriage is just underwhelming. You know, they can feel the strain or the settling in some way.
This conversation has been so just like a fire for me, because like right now in my Instagram, I'm starting to pivot to talk more about like business. And like, I made a post of like, oh, like I have like 10, 15K months now. And like, it was amazing. Like the response I got was so like genuinely like excited and stoked that people were so happy. But like, I'm trying to figure out, it's kind of like when people say like, give people what they want, but actually you're going to give them what they need. And so it's interesting, because it's like people want like the business strategies and like, what did you do to like do this and this and this? And like, what social media strategies do I need? But like, guys, none of that shit works if you don't have the inside stuff good. Like, I could have said that better, but like, honestly, all of the transformation, the growth, the abundance that you want and that you know you're possible and like that you know is out there, like you have to open up and like peel all this shit back to be able to receive it. Because right now your life is full to the brim with like everything you're doing for everyone else. You're just not opening any space. Like, you have to open the space to receive the abundance. And so I love this conversation, because it's just another reminder of like, you know, I could talk about business strategies. I could talk about social media, and I'm like, I'm sure I will. But like, guys, this is the shit. This is what matters. This is how you get to that next level. It is the inner work, 95%, and I swear like 5% actual like strategy. And I love that you've talked about this, because it's just another like confirmation of like, you know, if you want that amazing, badass, like crazy high vibe life that you're imagining, like it is possible. But first, let's work on that stuff inside, and then we'll get to the good stuff.
Yeah, it is absolutely. I agree with you. I'm always like, it's like 90 to 95% inner work and very little business strategy. That is how I 5X'd my income in under 12 months, was when I stopped doing what I call the prep purgatory. You know, doing all the stuff or the toxic hustle, which is just like all the behind the scenes and this and that, where none of it's actual lead gen, none of it's actual like stuff that's going to relate in connecting to an actual client, all of those things. Let me build a funnel and let me write emails and create a sequence and just all the bullshit tech stuff. And it's all the ways we hide. We hide in prep purgatory because it's action for the sake of action, hustlers. Hello, masculine energy. And it's just one of those control issues too, because I have control over that. I don't have control over some of these other things, you know? And so, yeah, we do it out of habit and out of hiding. And yeah, it is so, so, so true. It's all the inner work And you can fully own it, right? Like, I'm the same way. I don't talk business strategy. I talk simplification. I talk identity integration. We, you know, we can talk about empowerment, but really, like, what does that mean? And it's letting go of the control by building the boundaries. That's, I mean, it's not really a strategy because I'm like, it's a skill set, but really it's self-management strategies is what I focus on to elevate your impact, your influence, your income, and your empire, right? Because you're here to leave a legacy. Whether that legacy is being the example for your kids, what it's like to be a badass empowered woman, or it's to, you know, create some sort of a nonprofit that's impacting people in some country somewhere. Like, I mean, whatever that big, juicy why is for you, you know, it's still a legacy. You know, it can be the legacy that says, hey, I broke the fucking generational patterns that have kept my entire family in generational poverty, in money, in love, in opportunities, in health. I'm talking poverty and all those things. And I said, nope, I'm done. That's not my story. Not my story. That can be the legacy of impact, of change. You know, I didn't know going into 2019 that I was going to write a book until I did a visualization exercise. And literally, it was like, all right, step into your highest self. And it was like, wait, you're walking, I'm walking off of a stage and somebody meets me in the back of the room and is bawling her eyes out and is like, your book changed my life. And I'm like, come out of it. And I'm like, what book? And within 3 months, my book was written, and within 5, it was launched and was a bestseller.
Wow.
Right? Like, because I was open to receive that inspiration, and the action, the masculine, followed in service of that beautiful inspiration. And at the same time, as the universe is so beautiful in all of its alignment, that same day, I met the people that would connect me to everyone who helped make that possible.
Yep.
So synchronicity. Good. Right. So yep. Good. Because I was open to receive. You know, that was right at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. Because I just had my 1 year anniversary in July from my book.
Well, tell us about your book real quick. What's it called? And what do you dive into in there?
Well, everything we talked about today, of course, you know, kind of hit on the foundations. So it's called Be a Boss and Fire That Bitch.
Oh, shit. That title is everything.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good. It's Be a Boss and Fire That Bitch. Quiet your inner critic and finally believe you're good enough. That's the subtitle. And it's not just about firing the inner critic. It's actually about transforming your relationship with the inner critic because you're transforming your relationship with you. Realizing those stories that feed the critic are not your own. And also, right, learning to understand that it's just that messenger that something is out of alignment. And every single chapter, I give you specific tools, techniques, strategies, resources to implement what I'm teaching you in every single chapter. So, and there's a chapter on boundaries. There's a chapter on routines. There's a chapter on release. There's one on respect your boundaries. There's one on being open to receive. There's one on raise your standards.
Right? Dude, yes. I'm so grateful for this talk and for this book. Like literally, guys, this conversation was fire. You know it was. So go get the book. Let's dive deeper into like what we already talked about. And literally just the title alone, I'm going to go buy it. Like literally so, so good. I'm so grateful that like you came on and like shared your story and shared so many nuggets of wisdom with us. Like, and I love that, yeah, your book just dives deeper into it and like actionable steps and just like owning your life. And I love quieting your inner critic because that is just, I feel like the biggest thing. It's, you know, you get in your own way before anyone else does. So I love that so much. For anyone who is wanting to connect with you and, you know, find your book, find you online, find your social media, how can people find you?
Well, I made it super simple in being really consistent in my personal brand and everything is Stacey Raske. So stacyraske.com, at stacy.raske on Facebook and Insta. You can Google Stacey Rasky. I mean, it's on Amazon. Well, you can go to firethatbitchbook.com for the book, or just type in Stacey Rasky on Amazon and I come right up, or the title of the book, of course, because there's, I don't think there's any others that say, you know, be a boss and fire that bitch. yes. And then I have a really amazing, high vibe community of ambitious women founders and CEOs on Facebook. But you know, everything pretty well links from my main hub, which is my website or my Facebook page. So, but I've been doing a lot of the IGTVs lately, and you know, I do stream on YouTube as well. So, you know, kind of across the platforms.
Everywhere. Girl, you're killing it. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so happy we got to talk, and this conversation just completely lit me up. So thank you so much for your time, for your knowledge, just like, thank you. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been such a blast and an honor. And I love co-creating at such an epic level with amazing people like you.
Man, was that an amazing episode or what? Like, seriously, thank you so much, Stacey, for coming on. Like, I can just tell from your, like, I can just feel the fire that you have for like helping women and helping like people on their journey to step into who they are, to step into their power, and to just like start releasing all of the things that don't serve them anymore. I know that like healing, guys, it can seem like the longest uphill battle, and you know, I'm still going through it. I've been doing it for almost a year now, and it's still like, it's an ongoing process, but like, I am so grateful that I started this journey, that I started doing the inner work that she talks about, because it's just, it's showing in all areas of my life. I feel more lightweight. I feel happier. My business is thriving. Like, I can see the transformation on my outer world because of the stuff that I'm doing internally. And so, Stacey, thank you so much for talking about all this stuff and for teaching me some things that I didn't know. And I hope for anyone listening, I hope that you got some nuggets of wisdom. If you did, will you please like screenshot this, share it, like share a quote that really stuck out with you, or share it with someone that is struggling to step into their power, or to live that authentic life, or to go after the life that they know it's possible to have. So, Stacey, thank you again for coming on. Guys, go get her book. I'm ordering it right now. I'm so, so excited to be reading that and to dive more into the conversation we just had, because this stuff is life-changing, and this is the shit that like we need to do. Like, you have one life. Let's fucking go after it. Let's fucking pull the curtains back, start the process, and start just falling in love with ourselves again and falling in love with the beautiful life that we've been given. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that this episode spoke to you as much as it did for me, and I will see you guys next week. Until next time, guys, peace.